Thank you, Gary. Good morning. I am very excited to be here today. I am very thankful to be here today, and I want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to be here this morning. On Wednesday, I had told you, of course, I've worked the last two Sundays, and on Wednesday, I told you I was doing a triple, so I got off this morning, and it's always iffy whether or not on a Saturday night, people are going to spend the whole night calling the fire department, and I was able to sleep all night, which was great. And so sometimes I come off of work and I'm just feeling groggy, but I am not today. I'm feeling very satisfied and happy, and I do have a message that has been on my heart for about a week that I am excited to come here and share with you today. And I want to if I'm going to title my sermon today is gratefulness. And as I begin, I'm going to share a couple things, and then I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning. But I'll just give you some quick background. Last week, there is a Christian music group that I love, that my family loves, and they came into town and did a concert at a church here, and Zane was supposed to go with us. He was excited. He unfortunately was sick, but Rebecca and I went, and it was so good. This particular group, what I love about them is that they sing these songs, and they have, as I look at the total of the music that they write and they sing and all that, it's got two different facets that are beautiful. Life is difficult, but we may have joy despite it. And that is the message that they bring. And so, you know, we spent this time there singing and doing all that. And some of them got a little flashing lights and stuff like that. But it was so good. And I was listening to the thoughts and the things that were expressed before they sang songs, and listening again to these songs that I've known. I've heard them for years and I love them. And listening to these things and thinking how much cause we have to be full of gratitude to the Lord. I walked out of there thinking and feeling different. Like most of you, probably from time to time, we find ourselves weighed down, frustrated, worried, whatever it is. And it's good sometimes. It's good all the time to have something that refreshes us. And I walked out of there refreshed. And with something on my heart that I wanted to express today. And I've got it all in notes on my phone because I was at work and I was throwing stuff in on my phone and didn't want to pull out my computer while I was there. So I'm not texting or anything. I've got all my notes here on my phone, and I want to discuss this today. But before I go into the kind of different thing that I'm going to do this morning, I first want to lay on you three definitions of words. And all three of these have to do with what I want to express to you today, what is on my heart. And the first thing is I want, if you're going to write these down, I would hope that you would, at least some thoughts as I define these words, that you think about it later. The first one is this word of grateful or gratefulness, which is the title of my sermon. And this definition, it says, you know, grateful is having a due sense of benefits, a due sense. You know, the word due means something owed or something, you know, that is a requirement. So it's, you know, gratefulness is having this sense of a benefit that was given you, something that you received, and that word due means you owe it. It's your responsibility to recognize this benefit. It says being kindly disposed towards one, so being kindly disposed towards a person or God in the terms of how I'm going to speak today, from whom a favor has been received. So having this kind thought and feeling to someone because of something they have done for you. And so willing to acknowledge and repay benefits as a grateful heart. And so that first thing I want you to think about today is we're going to talk about gratefulness. And it is having this feeling within you that you recognize that you have been given something. And it brings a desire within you to acknowledge that goodness. This next word I want you to think about is this word of worship. And we hear this word all the time. But I want to link this together is that when we are thankful, when we express our gratitude, this is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. And worship, you know, it means to adore or to pay divine honors to reverence with respect and veneration. And we worship, we adore, we make these statements about something that is, you know, we worship God. God is higher. He is more perfect. He is the essence of perfection. And yet, I worship Him because, as David said, you know, and of all of these things, you looked down and you saw me. And worship. And when we are grateful, when we express our gratitude for the things that God has done, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit here, gratitude, gratefulness, thankfulness has nothing to do with where you're at in life. You can be thankful and you ought to be thankful even if everything is going poorly. Perhaps maybe that's the most important time. And we're going to discuss that. But remember that this expressing our gratefulness, our thankfulness, our acknowledging the good things that have come is the very essence of worship. And this last word I want to define quickly is this word to bless. And we see this all the time. And you look in the, especially in the book of Psalms, you know, you see these things. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And you think, what does it mean to bless? You know, we say a blessing over the food or what is. But you know, blessing, that word bless means to praise or to glorify for benefits received. And when we bless the Lord, when we praise Him, when we worship, the key to that is this gratefulness, this grateful heart. So today I'm going to talk about faith, hope, and the belief and this walk of a Christian. And I want to just talk about it because it must begin with this heart of gratefulness, this acknowledging of Christ and His Father. So Zane is going to come up here and Zane is going to read a scripture and he and I are going to sing a song. So we'll use this microphone, Mom, and you can turn off my lapel mic. What's that? You can sit if you... Yeah, we can do that. We're both at the same level with a microphone. All right, let's read the scripture you're going to read first and then go through.
A song of praise, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endure to all generations.
Sure, don't move it so I can't see it, though. Oh, of course my banjo goes out of tune when I want to do this. Oh. Hang on a second. Alright. We practiced this morning and none of that happened, but I banged it around while we were walking. Ready? And I will enter His gates with gratefulness, gratefulness. He turns my sorrow to praise for gratefulness, gratefulness. He puts the next breath in my lungs. He pours that new wine in my cup. I can't stop singing of all He's done. His mercies are new every morning. And I will enter his gates with gratefulness, gratefulness. He turns my sorrow to praise, gratefulness, gratefulness. He leads me through my wilderness. He lifts me up when I've no fight left. I can't stop singing about how good he is. His mercies are new every morning. And I will enter his gates with gratefulness, gratefulness. He turns my sorrow to praise through gratefulness, gratefulness. I'll choose to see my pain as some kind of blessing. I'll choose to see my trials as some kind of joy. I'll sing your praises in the land of the living. So while I'm still breathing, I'll choose gratefulness. I choose to see my pain as some kind of blessing. I'll choose to see my trials as some kind of joy. I'll see your goodness in the land of the living. So while I'm still breathing, I'll choose gratefulness. And I will enter his gates with gratefulness, gratefulness. He turns my sorrow to praise through gratefulness, gratefulness. All right, buddy, thank you. Good job. That song has been rolling through my heart all week, and there's these things that are expressed in it. And of course, all of you who know me know that music is very important to me. And when I write songs, and when I find songs that I really like, you know, I listen to the melody and all that I love. But the words are something that I consider. And I'm thinking of this song, and as we were at this concert, and this was the last song that was sung, and it was sung just like this with a banjo and all that, and everybody there singing. But before, you know, and several times through this concert, it was expressed that, you know, we have a right and a responsibility to honor God, because we have received great things from him. And over again, the point was made that we must bless the Lord and worship him, even in and especially in times of trouble. And so I want to talk about that today, and I've got these thoughts, and I hope I can express it well. But I wanted to begin, you know, as I look around, and I see all the things that are going on in this world. And we talked about a lot of heavy stuff this morning in Sunday school. If you weren't here, we talked about just heavy things that are going on in this world. And there is, without a doubt, ample reason and legitimate reason to lack hope for good things to come. There is ample reason. If we look, if I didn't have a hope and an expectation, a hope of God and his goodness, and an expectation that there is evidence for me to believe that he is going to move in my life and in the lives of those around me. If I didn't have those things, it would be easy and it would be reasonable to be overwhelmed, to be buried in discouragement and all of that. And as I talk today, I'm not trying to diminish anybody who's struggling, but I do want us to think that God, you know, my belief is, the experience that I've had is, there is a God, that he is real, that he desires to interact with me And his love for me and his moving in my life and all that has nothing to do with the circumstances of this life. It has to do with how he wants to work within my heart. So I started out here, and what I want to just tell you is I want to express so that you know where I come from. Why do I have a hope and a belief in God? You have your own. I'm going to tell you mine. So one of these things that I think about, and to begin with, is, you know, I've talked already about trouble. And, you know, I'm just thinking about this is that, you know, when I look around, when I read the news, when I talk to friends and coworkers and all of that, I notice there is a similarity in everybody. And that is that everybody has trouble. Everybody does. I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about things I've seen in my time as a police officer, things I see now in my time as a firefighter, when I used to work in an emergency room. But I also think about, you know, I've had opportunity to travel to other states. I've gone to other countries. And in all these places, I've seen people who have what they need, and I've seen people who have trouble. As I was writing this down, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about when I was in Africa, and we were going down. We were getting ready to cross the border from Kenya to Tanzania, and we were driving through whatever border town that is, and it was very busy. It must have been market day or something. And I noticed there on the side of the road, there was a big guy who was sitting there. He was very happy. I mean, he was smiling and all that sort of stuff. No fingers on either hand, no toes on either foot, peeling bananas, and pulling them off and selling them. He was smiling. He appeared, I didn't stop to talk to him, I wouldn't have been able to converse with him anyway, appeared to me that he was happy. And without a doubt, especially in such a place, probably a really troubled life. And you know, I think about that. And one of these things that as I look and I see that all around us, in this whole world and everybody, there are troubles everywhere. This tells me that trials and pain and struggle and trouble is part of the human experience. So I don't feel like I've come to this place in my life, and I didn't always feel this way. I didn't feel that way when I was the age of my son who just sang with me, or even of my older son. But the older I've gotten, the more I felt like when troubles come my way, I don't feel like I'm targeted. This is part of the human experience. I've learned that when things are going poorly, I'm not special. My circumstances are not any more unfair than anybody else's. This whole thing, you know, that sometimes we fall into when we're going through difficult times is we fall into this comparison game. Or sometimes we hear about struggles that people are going through and we're like, I don't know why Logan can't deal with that. Well, I've been through that before and it wasn't an issue. Every one of us are unique and different in the way that we handle things. You know, we all have this heaping helping of trouble that come. And so I want to begin by saying that because I've gone through some trouble in my life. My life is incredibly good right now. I don't anticipate that I'm always going to stand up here and make that claim that, hey, things are going awesome right now. But I know that I'm not special. Life happens to everybody. Struggles are part of the human experience and part of why we need God. I've spent some time considering. I've preached about it. I've talked about it. I've taught about it. This is one of these things that when somebody asks me, well, Adam, why do you believe there's a God? I go through this because I spent some time thinking about this. You know, as I look at everything that I can see around me, I look at, we have such a amazing amount of information available to us now with technology and all that. And we can see these things and read articles and look at studies, you know, the vastness of the universe, how big it is. And, you know, I was reading something the other day, just talking about, you know, at least for our knowledge right now, we don't know that there's anything faster than the speed of light. Yes, something going at that speed of light, however fast that is, one of you guys probably knows exactly the number, but something outrageously fast. To get from where we're at to the edge of what we can see with the most advanced telescopes would take a billion lifetimes. A billion lifetimes. You know, this vastness of the universe. So I think about that. And then the opposite of it, I think about the vastness of a cell, of an atom and all that, you know, and I've talked about this. I've shown you guys things about it before and how complex it is. And so as I think about these two things, these two extremes and the intricacy of all these things, it leads me to have to consider two different options. Number one, this option that's presented to us is that this life and everything and everyone involved in all of this is just a random organized chaos. Just happened to happen. Improbable, but possible. Or the second option, that this life and everything and everyone involved in it is a result of intentional planning, organized, deliberate action by some power that has ability and has emotion. And I put that word emotion in there in my thoughts because I have been a recipient of good that I have not been deserving of. And I have also been a recipient of what I have been deserving of. And each of those things, I do believe, are a result of this power that organized all of this thing around me intentionally. So those are these two things that I think about. And, you know, so as I sit and I think about this all the time, as I every time I read something, I like to read some of these different scientific journals and stuff like that. And I see, you know, advances here and they learn this and that. And I always weigh that against what I believe. And so every time I look at these and I weigh these two options again, you know, that everything around me is random and an accident and everything around me is planned. I consider this, that, you know, everything that we know about the universe, based on what we currently know, that as of everything we know right now, this planet we live on is the only place that's perfectly suited to sustain life. It is not actively trying to kill us or to destroy us. I saw an article the other day that says, you know, for all of that, forgive me, this isn't to try to be a political statement, which, you know, we're obviously seeing all these things about lowering carbon emissions and all that stuff. It's just, we're at the lowest carbon amount in measured history right now. And to the point, actually, where they feel like it could be dangerous, everything that we're doing, because of interventions we've had. That's not a popular statement, but there's these studies out there about it. But, you know, this place that we're on has been perfectly suited to sustain life. And, you know, I was thinking about that and I was looking about it. You know, this is something that long ago, you know, a couple thousand years ago, that this was a knowledge that people had. And in the book of Alma in the 16th chapter, this is one of these things, is as Alma is talking to somebody who's, and this person's saying, you have no reason to believe that there's a God. And Alma says, actually, I do have plenty of reasons. And he lays them out and he says, but let me give you one more reason. And he says, you know, the scriptures are laid out before you. And these things denote that there's a God. But then he makes a statement. He says, even the earth and all the things that are on the face of it and its motion and the planets which move in their regular form doth witness that there is a supreme creator. You know, David mentioned that in the book of Psalms. So you look at the vastness of the stars and all that. And yet, with all of these amazing things, you took the time to consider me. I consider and I think about looking at and I'm thinking about, you know, why do I believe there is a God? So I consider other things that I've experienced in my life or that I've heard experiences of others, which tend to lead me to believe that there's an all-powerful being who has a favorable desire for all mankind and specifically for me, that he has emotion, that this all-powerful being that does all this stuff has this complex emotion that we know of love, of a desire for good things. I think about experiences that family and friends have talked to me about, things that were humanly and physically impossible, situations they found themselves in where it was hopeless. They tried everything. There was no solution. And all of a sudden, when they've done something as simple as crying out, that they received a great benefit that was unexplainable. Think about that in my life, you know, when I was young and I prayed about things and I was pretty ignorant at that point, but I was just expressing, you know, what I've been told, this works. And over again throughout my life, I've found that when I've prayed about something, when I've asked the Lord, when I had a great need and I cried out to this unknown God, I've never seen him, I've never touched him, I don't know what it is, but I believe he's there, that I have received, I put in here, a favorable response. Sometimes I was healed. Sometimes I had an answer. Sometimes the situation I was in still existed, but I had peace. I was able to think clearly and all that. I consider that there's a written word that has endured for generations. It's gone down through time, and mankind has had it and has read it and has considered it and all that. But there are these truths that I have found in the scriptures that leads me to believe that this all-powerful being who has great emotion, that best, that biggest, that most important emotion of love, that there are things that were so important that they were conveyed throughout all of these years to me. That there are these things that we read in the scriptures that challenge who I am, that challenge what my thoughts are, my desires are, but where I've experimented, where I've tried the Word of God, where I've made different decisions, said different things, took a different action, whatever it was, because the Word said it, I have seen a favorable outcome in my life. And this convinces me that there is a purpose to why I was created and why I am here. And so all of these things, as I look at all of them in my real quick 5-minute explanation, this is why I believe that there is a God and why I believe that there is a reason for hope. And I could go on much longer. You guys have heard a lot of them, the way that I think before and why I'm convinced of it. But you know, as I look at all these things, I have a reason for hope. And I expect that God is present and that He has a desire to be engaged in my life. This helps to ground me when I'm struggling. And all of these things I've just said are a reason that I'm grateful. That I want to express that I am amazingly blessed. Not for all of the good things, but for the bad things especially. Where I've had difficulties and struggles and I've found the moving of an almighty God in my life. And it makes me want to sing. That song, that psalm, and the song that came from it, I will enter His gates. I will come before Him, recognizing and acknowledging the goodness of God on my behalf. This is the beginning of true worship. It's the beginning of true worship, of truly acknowledging God, is by acknowledging the benefits, the blessings that you have received. There's a scripture, we've read it several times. I think it's an important one, and as I was thinking in context of what's on my heart today, I wanted to read this again, and this is in the second book of Nephi in chapter 7, and it's verse 40, and here this man is, he's talking to his family, he's talking, and just like everybody else, life is tough. They are in the human condition, and he makes this statement. He says, cheer up your hearts and remember that you are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of everlasting life. We talked about this. I did a two-part study not too long ago on this gift of choice. And one of these things I expressed and I want us to remember is, you know, there is, doesn't matter what situation we're in, what deep, dark dungeon we're in, it doesn't matter, you know, if we're bound and we can't move, or we're in a prison and someone tells us when we go out and when we get up and when we eat, all that sort of stuff. There is no power on this earth that has power over your heart, that has power over your thoughts and over your mind, that in any circumstance you're in, that even the most confined prisoner on earth has freedom to seek the Lord, to make a change, to grow in faith, to grow bitter and angry and all of that, or to choose everlasting life. We should be grateful for this. That no matter what sort of situation you're facing now, or you will be tomorrow, or 5 years from now, whether you found yourself eaten up with cancer, or you find yourself at the top of your business, or whatever it is, you know, no matter what your circumstances are, be thankful that you have the right, and you have the freedom to choose. You have this freedom to follow God, and it doesn't matter anything that's going on around you. You have this freedom. There's no circumstance that you're in. There's no condition of your heart that cannot be changed. This is good. This is good. Because I've been convinced that there is a God and He has a Son that loves me, I have gratitude for my life. My life is not always good, and it has not always been. It hasn't always been pleasurable. I have a great deal of pain, physical pain. Yesterday I was at work, and we went to one of our other stations and had to switch out some stuff, and I got off the truck, and one of the guys comes and says, "What is wrong with you? You are walking weird." Oh my goodness, my back has just been killing me lately. It just hurts. It just hurts. It's painful. It's painful to bend over. It's painful to do all that sort of stuff. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I still have ability to do things. I am able to do this. You know, I'm grateful for these things in my life. I've looked at my life and I realize that I am a poor, flawed decision maker. I don't make great decisions. I'm motivated by things that don't lead me to always make decisions that are to my ultimate, my long-term benefit. And so I'm grateful those times that God has reached out and directed me and pushed me and spoke to me. I want to go to the book of Proverbs, and I want to read a couple very familiar, two very, very familiar scriptures in Proverbs chapter 3. Five and six, you all can probably recite this. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, this act of acknowledging God is not just asking. It's in expressing gratitude. It's in expressing, you know, as we pray, as you're in your closet, wherever that is, you know, as I'm driving to work and I'm in my metaphorical closet and I'm praying to the Lord. It's expressing what I recognize of God, of His abilities and of His place before me. I acknowledge Him. I don't know what to do, what is best, God. I don't see things the way you do. And I'm going to trust you to lead me and to guide me. This word trust, there's been so many sermons preached about it in the past and all that. This is so important. Is, you know, that we have to build our trust in God. If we take a look at the qualities that we have heard, the qualities that we have seen, and we do these things. Alma in the Book of Mormon, he says, you do an experiment. Try. David in the Psalms, he says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Try. Because the Lord responds. The Lord is there. And every time He responds, every time He's responded in my life, and He hasn't always responded to me in a way that I enjoyed, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Worship and praise, that, as I told you, begins with gratitude, begins with gratefulness, with an expressing of the goodness of God and how He's interacting in your life. It does not require our life and our situation to be ideal. There was a statement that was made. I don't remember which song. There was a ton of songs they sang, but there's these two songs that this group that they've written, that, and one of them, the song is called, it says Hallelujah Anyway. And this song says, you know, I'll find a way to praise you from the bottom of my broken heart. It says, I'd rather strike a match than curse the dark. In the chorus, it says, even if my daylight never dawns, even if my breakthrough never comes, even if I'll fight to bring you praise, Hallelujah Anyway. You know, the statement they made before they sang that song, as he said, you know, worship and praise. He said, today, where you're here, there are some of you who are not happy, who you don't have joy, but you've come here anyway. And this statement was made, if we don't worship God in our trouble, we'll never worship Him. So I'm sitting here talking to a bunch of mature Christians. I want to encourage us in this, that we don't allow ourselves, whatever it is, To be so focused on the fact that things might not be going the way we want that we forget the way things have been, the way God has moved, and that we worship Him in our trouble. There's another song that they sang. It's called True in the Light. And it says, what's true in the light is true in the darkness. If God is true in the light, if He's true when things are good, He is also when things are poor, when things are not going well. I wanted to, as I was sitting and I was thinking and kind of thinking, okay, I want to talk about this here is I want to give a couple of things that I was just thinking about that we can do to worship God and express our gratefulness to Him, whether things are good or whether things are poor. And I have a handful of things here I just want to talk about. And this first thing is I want us to remember this, that expressing, that considering, that looking at our life, that looking at where we have good things in our life, where we can acknowledge that God has moved in our life or in the lives of those around us, it brings us into the proper place where we see God for who He is and we see who we are. I think I have it in here in what I read, but you know, in the book of Mosiah, he makes a statement. He says, you know, about acknowledging your place before God, that you're asking, but He's giving. And God is someone who simply gives of Himself for our benefit. And as we look at those things around us that bring us satisfaction and joy, and we see that we've been blessed by God, it helps us to consider our place before Him. And this prepares our hearts to be blessed and to be strengthened by God. I have some things I want us just to think about is that I want us, you know, we need to be doing this. First thing I have here is to speak of, to write down, and to remember often the good things that you have seen, that you have experienced. And I have in here, you know, not just testimonies, huge things, but stuff like the sunrise. We have a beautiful sunrise and a sunset here in Arizona. You know, every time I look at it, I think about, again, as I go back to like the vastness of the universe and all the complexity and all that, I'm watching an unexplainable, improbable event every evening when the sun goes down. How amazing is that? I can see it and I can recognize, you know, I know a lot of people have expressed this when they go to a place like the Grand Canyon. It helps them to see the magnificence of God and how small they are. We have this song in our songbook we sing, Count Your Many Blessings. It says to name them one by one. And, you know, I have in here, you know, what does that look like? Several years ago, my wife and I, as we were in troubles, we had so many, we started writing them down. This is what happened today. We sat down that first night that everything came crashing down, and we sat there, I don't know how long it was, honey, and we talked about all these good things. Life was not good, but God was. And we had a blessing of our children and of their health, and of friends and family and loved ones and their care for us. And, you know, breath in my lungs and my physical health and all of these things. And we sat there and we thought, this isn't the result of randomness, but of a purposeful God. And we ended that night, and we had to remind ourselves of this often, but we ended that night with joy because we were grateful to God. And we entered His courts with thanksgiving. And we worshiped Him. It's important that we remember the bad times. It's important that we remember our failures. It's important that we remember times when life was miserable. And, you know, in the book of Lamentations, which is the book of it, the writing of it is exactly what the name, and it's a lamenting of a bad situation. And in the third chapter, you know, beginning in verse 1, Jeremiah, this guy who at some point, we've said this over and over again, found himself thrown down in a sewer and, you know, maybe up to his neck, something like that, for however long he was just thrown there and all that. You know, he's the one who's writing all of this, this lamenting the situation. And he begins in verse 1, he says, I am the man that hath seen affliction. You get that song, I'm a man of constant sorrow. You know that song. I've seen terrible things. And life has not been good. And you read through this, and he goes through and he's laying out all of this bad stuff. He says, I feel like God has turned against me. He's turned his hand against me. He hasn't moved to my benefit. My flesh and my skin, he's made old. He broke my bones. He's allowed me to be set in dark places. And all of this, you know, and he's laying all of it down. But then he says, but remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, the bitterness of it, the sting of it, he says, my soul hath in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because of his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will hope in him. Not in the situation I'm in. Not in the trouble I'm in. There's no hope. I don't have any hope that any issue we're facing right now, a government, a president, a governor, a legislature, a police officer, or anything is going to solve. Only in the Lord. But I do remember those bad times. There's this concept and this important thing, and we've talked about it before, about this opposition in all things, you know, and if we don't consider what bad times are, if we don't think about it, we don't really recognize how good things are. How good is a blessing if we haven't looked at how poorly things were at one time? And so one of these things I want us to remember to do is not to forget the troubles that we've been through, but remember them. And consider how God intervened in our life and what sort of things helped and what sort of things failed and what we would do differently if faced those situations again. But when we do that and we remember where we come from, where we failed, it helps us to be grateful for where we are. One of these things I have written here is visual reminders. These things that remind us of good blessings and that when we see it, we think about it. You know, my children are one of them. My wife is one of them. But I have written down here one of these other things. You know, I have a truck that I use. Now I fuel and everything. I drive it typically only when I'm doing remodel jobs and to pull my trailers and stuff. But, you know, there was a time when my cabin in business was while we were was putting food on our table. That I needed a vehicle, and we had I had sold the Jeep I had, and we had a certain amount of money, and it was going to be a significant investment, but it was necessary. And so Rebecca and I did what we've learned to do, and we prayed about it and prayed about hey, we need this truck, and we searched and searched and searched, and found one. Seemed like it was perfect, and made the arrangements, and we drove all the way out to the far reaches of town, which is where I work now, coincidentally, is right. And we met with with these people who were selling it and drove it around, and we drove it and we thought, well, this is what we need. But there was something that just didn't feel quite right about it. And I went and I got underneath of it and I saw some stuff and I said, you know, I don't think this deal is what it was said to be. And so we walked away from it, and that was kind of our last hope. We still needed a vehicle to do what it was we needed for our business. But there was nothing else. We tried everything. It was either too expensive or too many miles, needed too much work. But we walked away from that, and we decided we're going to keep praying about it. Pray about it. And somewhere, I don't know if it was me or Rebecca, we searched again, the same sites, the same whatever, and we found a truck that was there. I don't know, maybe it was there the whole time, and we just didn't see it. And the price was doable. We thought, there's got to be no way that we can buy this. It's got to be gone. And the guy says, no, I'm trying to sell it. So we went there and looked at it and drove it. Man, this is everything we were thinking it would be. The mileage was great. Called Jesse over and said, Jesse, go through this. Find something wrong with this. And he went through it. You know, a mechanic, he's looking through it. He's like, I can't find anything. You're stupid not to buy this. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, why is this truck still available? And I asked the guy, wait, why are you selling it for this price? They go, I'll be honest with you, the paint job's terrible. And it is. It's not great. And he says, you know, nobody wants it because it's ugly. And I'm like, I do ugly. I can do ugly all day. I have no problem with that. I'm not a fashion statement guy. And we were blessed. So every time I see my truck, I'm grateful. It would have been a tremendous financial hit for us, especially then. It would have been very poor for us. It would have really put us in a bind. God moved. And so, you know, there's these things I want you to be conscious, and I want you to be intentional. You know, if we open the songbook, because Betty calls for a song, and it's a song that has had you were in a time in your life and it was terrible, and you came in here and the words that song spoke to you and directed you or something. Express it. Stand up and say it. Enter into the Lord's courts with thanksgiving and worship Him. I hope we do this every time we pray. It's probably the way we ought to begin, of getting our heart and our mind in that right place by thanking the Lord for what He's done. Probably many of you, like me, we fall into this habit, this habitual prayer, where we say it, we don't really think about it. It's what we say. We are acknowledging Him, but we're truly not taking the time to think about it. And I want to encourage us to find our place, our closet, and to express our gratitude for the Lord. Think about and name it to God. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I recognize you didn't have to do that on my behalf. And it will change you, and it'll change us. And we worship God that way. We honor Him. We express His goodness and His place before us. And we, you know, the way we feel that He was willing to bend down and to work in the life of someone like us. I want to go to Mosiah in the second chapter. And you know, I have here that one of these things that we do, that we think about our gratitude and we express our gratefulness to God, and it becomes a worship when we pay it forward. You know, expressing your gratitude for what you have or what you are able to do is strengthened when you do it for others. And in the book of Mosiah, we see this, you know, that he makes this statement that when you're in the service of your fellow man, you're in the service of God and things like that. But I want to go to verse 27, and it says, he's talking about, you know, about you teaching your children and what you do in your family. He says, teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Teach them to love one another, serve one another. And you yourself, you know, succor those that stand in need of succor. Administer your substance to those who are in need. And he talks about, you know, that you're looking at those around you, those people who have a need, you know, that are asking for something. They have something they need. And he makes this statement. He says, you know, he says in 32, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend on the same being, even God, for the substance that we have, for food and raiment, for gold and silver and all the riches that we have? Behold, at this time you've been calling on His name, begging for remission of your sins. And hath He suffered you to have begged in vain? And so, you know, I'm just thinking here that one of these ways that we worship God and we show our gratitude for the things that He has done is we find ways to give of ourselves to others. Our worship is strengthened when we offer service one to another. And I want you to remember that. A couple quick more things. I want to remind you again that some of you who are here, some of you who are live streaming, you'll listen to this possibly in the future. Life will not be good. You may not have joy in your life. You'll hear all these things and say, well, Adam, that sounds really good, but you have no clue what I'm going through. And I get it. But I want you to remember that being grateful, recognizing good things around you, expressing your belief in God doesn't have anything to do with your circumstance. All it has to do with is your perspective. Can you step away for a moment from the struggles that you're having and acknowledge that there is a God who has moved, that all of your life isn't bad? Yeah, there's difficult things, but everything's not terrible. And can you focus on that? Can you thank for that? Can you offer up your gratitude for that? And when you do that, God works. He works and he changes. Two other scriptures, I'm not going to read it, but in these two different places, you know, one of them in the Book of Mormon, Mormon tells his son, he says, we have a job to do while we're here. We can't get weighed down, burdened down with all of these things that are frustrating, that are difficult, that are heavy, that are discouraging. We have a job to do. We've been put here for a purpose. This God of purpose chose this day. And in the book of Esther, Mordecai tells the same thing to Esther. He says, you were born for this day. You were born for this purpose. A difficult purpose, a troublesome purpose. But you were born for this day. See, I believe that there is a God of emotion, who has love and desire for me. And he chose me to be here. I don't think every trial that I have is his purpose. He didn't cause it to happen, but life does happen. But I believe he's there with me. And he's helped me and he's blessed me. My life is good. I have a wonderful wife. Best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I've got a great job. I've recounted over and over again how I ended up where I am right now. It was a paperwork mistake that God caused. And I've been able to, through my weakness, be a blessing there. I'm grateful for it. So as we sang this song, my son and I, as I've been thinking about it through this week, this is what's on my heart. I can't expect God to continue moving in my life if I don't acknowledge that I have been tremendously blessed. In my troubles and my trials and my good times, God is there. I believe it with my whole heart, and I would implore you that you consider that today. And that when we come tonight, when you enter into prayer, you know that psalm that says, you know, enter into his gates. We sang it there, enter into his gates. It's not just when you come through these doors. It's when you bow your head to pray. It's when you have a conversation with another person and there's an opportunity for you to worship by expressing what God has done. This is how we honor. This is how we praise. How we bless the Lord. This puts us in our proper place before him. And that is how God works with us. And my life is an evidence of it. And I wanted to express those things today. God bless you.